This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and 6. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. See, I send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day the Lord comes. That's quite frightening. I don't know when is that day. But whatever that day is, it hasn't come yet, but could be coming. Do you believe that? And Malachi 4:6 says, He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. There's a slight difference between how it is now rendered in the NIV to that which is in King James. King James says, I would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the heart of the fathers. And then I'll come and strike the land with a curse. So the Old Testament ended with the word curse. And it just occurred to me that fathers, mothers, parents, you hold a key to blessing or curse in your family. And maybe not just only in your family, but also in the calendar of God, because it's about a dreadful day that is coming. How many believe that's part of God's calendar? And it's part of God's calendar, part of God's agenda, that the only people that are important to him will be mentioned as to how this thing is going to pan out. And it does seem to me our relationship with our children and our children's relationship with us, we have to bring return. We have to bring hearts into order, into alignment. Can I pray for you right now? Let us pray. Father, I just want to pray that, Lord, you will help us in your mercy and in your grace. How often in our younger days, Lord, we mucked it up. We didn't do it well. And we ask you, Father God, for forgiveness today. We ask you, Father, for your grace. We ask you, Father, for grace to forgive us if we are fathers and mothers that didn't do a good job before. But we ask, Father God, that you give us grace to also forgive our fathers and mothers who did not do a good job, so that in turn we will do a good job with our own in the days to come. So that, Lord, your kingdom will last from generation to generation. Your grace and your blessing will be upon one generation to another. I pray, Father God, that you will cause there to be an awakening by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Touch us, Lord, and turn our hearts. Just while all the eyes are closed and bowed and heads bowed, I wonder how many could identify with this thing that I'm praying and calling this morning. Can you just lift up your hands and put it down again? Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, because I believe this is all in preparation for a greater day in this church. So I commit this matter to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If my brother... Oh, you got it there. Thank you. Can we go straight to slide number 5? Kingdom vision for you and family. I just like to share with you that my wife and I have been involved in church for a long time. She is even longer. As a teenager, she already became a Christian in her secondary school. I didn't become a Christian until I was in the uni up in Monash. And then we felt the Lord caused us to go out and do church planting, and so we did. I didn't realize, of course, what's involved, really. You do it, you just do it. And we are grateful, though, for whatever fruit that had been accomplished over the years. So I'm familiar with church until I realized that God was speaking to me that actually it is about existing, not to run churches. And souls that are brought into the kingdom of God is not just only to add into churches so that we can have more seated on our pews. It's about His kingdom of heaven on earth. We are on His agenda, not even to be saved so that we can go to heaven, but so that heaven can come down to earth. And not saved just to get by. God can meet me in my needs here and meet a need there and meet a healing here and a healing there. Much more than that. Because it is about His kingdom and His will in heaven, on earth, and through you. More than that. As I study this particular topic and been going through all the verses regarding it, that is kingdom, I enjoyed what David shared just now regarding the kingdom up here. It resonates so well. A kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. And then I realized that actually God uses two entities on earth to bring about His heavenly will and His heavenly kingdom. And both have the same name. The first entity is your family. The second entity is also called family, but is called God's family, the family of God, which is actually the church. Now, I kind of know that the church is called the family of God, but that's the problem. What I kind of know doesn't necessarily mean that's what I will build. I would still be building congregations. I will still be building everything that make church looks like a church according to the system that I inherited or that I knew. The only problem I realized was that when I discovered that whatever that we knew about church actually had been imported from the hundreds of years from Europe. Isn't that right? And then at this stage of our history, I realized that the church in Europe is struggling. Is that right? You guys probably know more than me. Those cathedrals that are magnificent, beautiful, large, significant in every city, today, they are still significant, large, beautiful for tourists to enjoy. But they were mega churches before. So where and what happened to the church as God's family? The relational element is something that every one of us so desire. So there's no lack for the desire of wanting to build relationships, but we have built congregations really are not very high on it. Not, sometimes not even very personal. We just walk in and out of services, kind of know each other a little bit more when you attend a church long enough. The only way that you build relationships that last and that you cannot change it is when you are in a family. If you're a mother, you're a mother, your father forever, good or bad. And God is into this whole thing about relationships. But human systems have come along and turned our Christianity into a religion. And the kingdom of God has been turned into what they call Christendom. Not the same. Christendom is not the same as kingdom. The word Christian is only mentioned once. But the kingdom is mentioned throughout the whole of Jesus' ministry. The gospel is not just only the gospel of salvation, but it's also the gospel of the kingdom. And when you're born again, it's not just only so that you can come in and see how church looks like this one. It looks like this, okay? But actually, when you're born again, it's so that we can see the kingdom. But what does it mean, though? Seeing a kingdom, the word see would probably incorporate the idea of vision or envisioning, the idea of seeing something further. You project yourself into a future. If you see something, you can have a direction. If you can't see, you're hampered in your sense of direction. And I just want to propose to you that kingdom vision sees God's highest authority. How many believe this is highest authority? Because kingdom of God is actually the rule of God. It's the highest, it's the authority of God. You know, we talk about the authorities. When you want to do something, you've got to get permits and licenses and so on from the authorities. And they are the ruling part, they are the ruling people. The local council is a ruling body. The state government is a ruling body. The federal parliament is a ruling body. There are the authorities in the land. God's kingdom is the highest ruling authority. But and where and how is it going to be worked out? It's a strange thing. Not in a corporate entity, but in family. I thought that's pretty cool. And you know what? In the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we sang the Apostles' Creed just now. The Father is in heaven. Jesus is seated on the right hand with the Father. And who is the one who is executing kingdom of heaven on earth? Holy Spirit. And you know what? Throughout the 50 years or 40-something years of Christianity that I know, both the family and the Holy Spirit were subject to great attack by the devil. And he's still on it. He's still trying to break up families. He's still trying to attack marriages. And you know what? Sometimes Christians bite the bait. They bite the bait and get so angry and so disgusted about one another. And then you can be a Christian for all you like and all you claim, but when come to biting the bait of the devil, hatred rise up, love goes out the window, and perseverance and patience and wisdom and everything goes. And so what's the result? The number of divorces in the church is the same as the divorces out in the world. With God, no God, story is the same. How many feel this is very disgusting? This is actually quite bad. If we can just give in to the devil just like that, how are we going to be perpetuating the kingdom of God? How many believe that this is quite challenging? But this is quite awakening too. I'm not a writer. And then only in recent time I discovered that David is a master writer in the Writers Association. And but I thought I'll put some things into a book. And I'm not just trying to sell you a book. I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to give you a message that I believe the Lord has been downloading these things to me. It's been burning in my heart for a long time. That I think that being your children and your family. So, but it's not, the idea is not to try to prophesy on everybody. It's just being led by the Lord and just get inspired by something and realize that God is real. But you know what? God wants to multiply such responsible families many times to impact this world. God wants the burdens that you carry. And I can see that Pastor David Keyes and Bev carries a burden in terms of building relationships, much more than trying to do church. And I hear it from his heart that I'm over trying to do church. I want to see God build us as a church that is really knowing what it is to relate with the husband, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And to be able to relate among us as true brothers and sisters in God's family. Sometimes pastors who hear us talk things to say like that, so does that mean that you only have a small church? You don't understand this. Families may look small, but families are the very agents that God used to build nations, because it was from one family that they built a clan, that they built a tribe, then they built a nation, and then nations. Abraham was called. He was told by God that in you is a nation. But later on, God called him the father of many nations. It's not just small. Every family represented here is actually a multiplication. Isn't that right? Actually, for God, one is a plural. One is not singular. One in God, the Lord, I am the Lord, I one God. But He is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. His one is a corporate entity. His church, His bride, is not just one church. It's a universal church. What makes us think that family has to be just only very small numbers? But it may not be in the form of what we all think it would, that every church ought to be like a mega church. That whether mega or not mega, let me tell you this, has got a lot to do with your administration skill rather than anything else. There has to be anointing on that man. His teaching ability has to be very strong. But his maintenance is very high. You do have incurred costs to run this church here. But multiply it a few more times, it costs you more money. But what if the money could be plowed into planting many, many more bulk Christian fellowships everywhere? What if the money can be used by the Lord to cause you to become people that will be on God's mission into the nations and touching the nations, so that Australia will be sending out arrows into the world? I think it was in this place that I had that kind of inspiration one day, and I mentioned this before. That picture didn't leave me. And I just felt that, Lord, give us a vision, a kingdom vision that see your highest authority, but in starting with our family relationships. So dads and mums, you hold the key to be the very source and vehicle of the blessings over your children. Your articulation of blessings over your children forms God's creative miracles, creative spiritual formation for your children. So, brother, this is a big job if you're into training people. I'm not even sure what you're really doing. I talk like I knew. But if you're training people, and if you're not training people, please start doing that. Please start doing that. Collect a whole bunch of other young families, young couples. Multiply yourself and say, let's do something. I see at least another two families that should be around you. And these two families will together with you form a little group of six, whereby you would be together, pray, think, reflect, and implement, and grow with the sense of authority that will speak blessings, command blessings, because you are in unity with a few other people. But don't limit to just another two couples, okay? Hallelujah. Just multiply. Get these two couples to have another two, another two, another two. Hallelujah. How about that? And I just like the sense that a church should be launched into a fresh campaign. We should be crusading to see that families are blessed by God. You don't want to bless the enemy, right? So only families are blessed by God. To see that families are blessed by the Lord. To see that there are responsible men. There are responsible women. There are responsible fathers and mothers in the house of God. How many say amen? I just pointed out two. I can point out many others. And I can see that you guys sitting in here, you guys are responsible men and responsible women in the house of the Lord. You probably have been working good and working hard over the years in developing. It's a matter of kingdom vision now. We have to have a kingdom vision for our family. And when you do that, you will realize that you have a sense of direction and a sense of purpose. You realize that you will be actually heading towards God's destiny for you. God has marked you with a destiny. Actually, he marked us with a sense of his prophetic and kingdom destiny even before we were born. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. God says, I knew you even before you were formed. Psalm 139, same thing. You're wonderfully, fearfully made, but there's a book about you. There are two books. The word book is in plural and singular. In heaven. Singular, the book of life. Plural, our books. Every individual has a book. And we will be rewarded according to what's written in the book. You want to know where the scripture says that? Okay, turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. Now the time is already gone. It's 11:35. Are you ready to go home? I felt I just started. So if you really have to go, you can go. Don't let me hold you back. But if you're keen to just listen a little bit more, then maybe we can see how far we can go. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's a lot of people. The court was seated and the books were opened. Plural. Turn with me to Psalm 139. You know what? Every time I come, I felt like I'm not just coming here to give you a sermon, you know. I'm quite surprised by the ease of prophesying over so many people in such a short time. There has got to be something about you. It's something about you. You draw things out from people who come here. It's the presence of the Lord and it's your hunger. Okay, Psalm 139, I think it's verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Where is it now? Verse 16 maybe. All right, verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Turn with me also to one more scripture in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. And verse 12, I think. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. How is God going to judge unless he has a book on us? So we do have a book. But while he has written on his book his plan for us, it's up to us also to live out our lives according to His destiny for us. So you have a purpose. So many people struggle in life because they feel so empty. They felt that their life is so empty, so aimless, and sometimes they even had suicidal tendencies because life is just too hard. But a sense of destiny can turn that around. How many believe that? A sense of purpose can turn that around. You must understand that you have a purpose. You exist for a purpose, young lady. You're not just only a person just being drifted in life. You have a purpose. And grow and mature yourself in your thinking. Mature yourself in learning about what things you need to be learning to equip yourself so that you can be useful to God and God can use you to help others in society. The Spirit of God has drawn you into this place in your life, into this stage of your life, because He has a purpose for you. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God actually has such a sense of wanting to raise you to be really kings and priests. We kind of know that. But it's just only another theory, another, we are very good at cliches, but this is for real, brothers and sisters. Actually, His desire is for us to become people that will rule for Him, because He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. It's not just a song that we sing. It is about His people that will be used by Him, that will rule on His behalf. 1 Corinthians, or maybe 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it's verse 26, talks about we are even people that will judge angels. Maybe fallen angels especially. How many remember the scripture? Hey, you don't just become a judge because you say so. You're a judge because you're groomed to be one. Amen? Let me see if I can pull out a scripture from my memory. Oh dear, because I've got a good scripture regarding... Let me see if it's in here. You know, we are... Ah, here it is. Daniel chapter 7. Did I say Daniel chapter 7 just now? Okay, go back to Daniel chapter 7 now, read 27. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Then the sovereignty is the king, okay? Power and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey Him. Listen, this is God's intention. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like this. He wants His people, His holy people. How many of you are part of it? His holy people, the holy people of the Most High, to be handed over by Him all the kingdoms under heaven. Oh, but we are just only thinking that we are just Christians. We are attending church. We are God help us to just foot our bills and pray for this and pray for that. But we've got to come to a new awakening. Hallelujah. We've got to come into a greater sense of stature, a greater sense of kingly anointing, authoritative power in prayer. There's a scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to close with this now. Ephesians chapter 2. You know this scripture quite well because it's on our lips quite often. The only thing is, how do you work it out? Verse 6. Oh, well, let's start from verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, he wants to show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness. To do that, he says, he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Now, we've got a problem. How to make this a reality? Because whatever that is down here on earth is more real than that particular scripture, right? How do you make this thing happen? It's not going to be, some people get translated, you know, and this and that, but how many in the whole world? It's not like that. I don't think so. But it is about an understanding of your spiritual stature, of being above and not underneath, of being on top and not below, of being the head and not the tail. How many believe that's a blessing? Deuteronomy chapter 28, blessing. It is about people that will understand that this gospel indeed is good news. It is actually God's way of bringing people out from his from the miry clay and plant them and seat them upon the solid rock. And just that this rock is actually having a dual dimension. The rock that is Christ Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone of the church, but he is also seated together with Jesus, with God the Father in heaven. And we too have a dual dimension. While we are here, I'm here and I'm talking. But you know what? I would like to think that when I'm talking, I'm also connected with above. And that's why I get inspired as I look at you and I begin to prophesy, because when I do that, I'm not just only operating on my earthly anointing as a human being, but something that I never knew about you, it came from heaven for you. Hallelujah. And I'm an ordinary person, really. I struggle like crazy if you only have been into my home. I would struggle like everybody else. Let's be down to earth about life. Aussies are down to earth, eh? So let's be down to earth. I like what David told me about. You know what? Family has a way of bringing you down from your high horse. So it doesn't matter what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter what you have achieved. It doesn't matter what you can perform. Get back into the family and be down to earth again. And the Lord wants his kingdom of heaven on earth through families that will be down to earth, but yet at the same time with a good sense, sensible, good sense of knowing that you are actually to be groomed in a spiritual stature, groomed in his kingly anointing, groomed in his priestly anointing to enable you to serve. And that's what I'm doing here this morning, serving you by encouraging you. If the prophetic words means anything to you, then it encourages you, I hope. And that's the purpose of serving, how I'm here for. And I'm not a person that is aloof or what. I told you that I don't want to get too close to anybody. It's not because of that that I'm proud or aloof. I don't need to be that. I don't want to be that. I need God's grace, eh? And God resists the proud but gives grace only to the humble. So we better walk humbly and down to earth with the Lord. Amen? But on the other hand, God wants us to be able to touch heaven while on earth, and to be able to groom, to be seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realm. How is it applied? It's applied with the grooming of your spiritual stature, which is really your faith. Your faith about all these things that we're talking about. Your faith about your destiny. Your faith about knowing that God actually has a book about you and you will live it out. Your faith about knowing that you are a person in the duality of relevance on earth and power in heaven. Your faith to believe God's word that makes you one person that is not just only operating by your mind, but you can operate in the spirit. Your faith that believes that when you pray together, you can hear God and you pray better. And your faith to believe that when we are together as friends, we actually live better. Hallelujah. We stay stronger. Amen. With this little hub of twos and threes and fours and so on, this is a very powerful thing because God designs families in hubs of people that are usually not very big numbers. And when they relate well, they can carry on not just only famously but powerfully in the unity that will be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. And in this whole grooming, sometimes it does take iron sharpening iron. Sometimes it takes you being rubbed the wrong way. But if you still hang on, if you still allow the Lord to change you, transform you, He will groom you to be a kingdom person that will bring up a kingdom family so that we will together form a kingdom church and the kingdom of heaven comes on earth in Australia. Hallelujah. That prospect, we must keep it alive in our hearts. But it starts with us. And you know what? One day I was driving to my office and a few words dropped into my mind. Only King's decree. Now, I'm sure some of you would have been familiar with the Word of Faith movement about confessing the Word and trying to get healing by proclaiming, confessing. Sorry, today I only just operate within just one slide, but I think that's good enough. I'm not trying to impress you with how many slides I have. I'm just operating around one slide. Okay. And we try to do that, and sometimes people get encouraged, sometimes people get discouraged because it didn't work, because it's not meant to be a method, not meant to be a methodology. It's about your stature. It's about growing. It's not even about quoting scriptures. But please try to memorize some scriptures. Otherwise, what are you going to live on? All right? Please read the Bible, by the way. You can't just not read the Bible and be a Christian or try to be a kingdom person. Okay? So, but apart from that, God says, just now I read it in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, He says, I want you to be one who would receive from me all the kingdoms under heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Revelations, I think it's chapter 5, verse 11, says that we are kings and priests. Or the NIV says we are a kingdom of priests. I like kings and priests better because of what he said in Daniel. He wants the kingdoms to be given to his holy people. And when you are actually mature, you would allow yourself to grow up, mature. And I'm not saying you're not, okay? But we all need to mature. How many say amen? Mature and be able to rise to a place to be entrusted by the Lord. We are not just only Christians so that we can always look to a pastor and pastor, you pastor me, you plaster me, you bless me. Sometimes it's like that, you know. But anyway, this church, I think you have a better vision than that. And you realize that you are actually going to fit into God's kingdom purpose. Every one of you is going to actually score a place relevant to build this house to be a kingdom church and your home to be a kingdom family. And as you would mature, you rise up to have a sense of spiritual authority in you. And then you speak. And then when you realize this, because God puts responsibility in a person and matches that responsibility with authority. God, say this again, God always matches responsibility with authority. He doesn't give you a responsibility without empowering you with authority. So, my dear sister, you're going to be very powerful I was glad to have prophesied on you that, you know, the Lord sees fit that you can pray with greater and greater authority. Maybe because you have been through the grind, that whatever in life you have been through, the Lord says He can trust you to pray with authority. Kings can decree. Only kings decree. So if you want to be in the place whereby your words are powerful, the word of blessing that you utter over people will create and be powerful. Let us grow to be kingly in our nature, in our character, in our personhood. How many say amen to all that? I'm finished my sermon now. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we should pray so that we are religious, okay? Shall we pray? Let's amen. You are religious. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray a blessing over you. Amen. And let's believe that when, because we will utter blessings over you. Are you ready to receive it? Father, I bless this nation, this particular church, Father. In the name of, I'd like my wife to please come and stand with me, because it's not just for show, you know. This is, I believe, a principle. I think as husband and wife, she is here and she prayed for me to be able to minister this morning. And you just don't know how important prayer is for whoever that comes and minister. I live on it. And then when people make announcements and people make, what do you call it, the description or the welcome, the introduction, you know, right behind my breath, underneath my breath, I say, Lord, have mercy. I don't know what they're expecting. pressure. But I just learn how to be restful. In fact, I don't even preach. I only talk to you. But I want to pray a blessing over you. Father, I want to utter and speak blessing over everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a parent, I want you to lift up your hand. I particularly want to pray for parents right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless fathers, I bless mothers in Jesus' name. The Lord, by the power of your calling, the responsibility that you have, I bless them with a sense of spiritual authority and faith to believe that from today, when they would bless their children will be blessed indeed. When husbands would bless their wives, the wife will be blessed indeed. When the wife would bless the husband will be blessed indeed. And let your blessing that I speak over your people now form a cage of protection over them, that indeed they will be guarded and kept, Father God, and be blessed in their goings out and their comings in. That the Lord will bless them in all that their hands find to do. And the Lord will bless them, Father God, with wisdom, understanding, and bless them, Father God, with tenacity of heart to overcome winds of adversity and stand strong even in the midst of the work of the evil one. They shall win and they shall be victorious. This church shall stand because the kingdom of God stands and shall not be shaken. And so I pray so over this congregation in the authority that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.